I have a really amazing podcast episode today. We'll be talking with Kunal Kushwaha. He cracked his GSOC in the first year of college itself. And in this episode, he'll just be talking about the complete process. What was his preparation like? What was the mindset that is required to crack GSOC? Some tips for all of you that want to crack GSOC right now. In this year, if you don't know what GSOC is an open source event that is organized by Google, inside of which a lot of open source organizations take part, and they want people like us to add some features to their projects. Okay, and when we do that, we end up getting a lot of swags, a lot of like compensation and all that. So that is a really amazing experience of participating in GSOC. And so yeah, I hope you will learn a lot from this episode. Make sure that you watch it till the very end, subscribe to the channel, like this video. Also guys, Kunal has his own YouTube channel called Code for Cause. I'll link it in the description. Do subscribe to it if you want to learn coding. He has a really amazing machine learning bootcamp where he just talks from the basics of machine learning, the mathematics that is required, all the way to the intermediate and advanced concepts of machine learning he has discussed in that bootcamp. So if you're interested, you should definitely check that one out as well. I'll link it in the description. So yeah, now let's get started with the podcast episode. Hey Kunal, thank you so much for joining me here for this podcast interview. First of all, you've done so much amazing things. I went through your LinkedIn profile and it's just really amazing, like packed with, you know, you did this and then you did GSOC as well, which we'll be talking about in this video. So like, how are you doing there, bro? Really excited to talk to you.
I'm doing good. Yeah. First of all, thanks for having me, Ishan. I'm really glad to be over here and really love the amazing work that you're doing for the community. And that is what we all are working towards, whoever is, you know, helping the community. So we are all working towards the same goal and I'm really excited to be here. Exactly. And how I did it, that's a good question. Basically, I personally focus on a pie-shaped learning experience. So there's a quote that I really like, know everything about something and something about everything. Okay. So, you know, exploring when you're in your initial years of college. So you're talking about GSOC and open source. So I started open source in my freshman year itself because I wanted real world experience. So it's like, don't get stuck in a learning loop. Okay. Some people are like, let me just first learn and then I'll apply it. Let me first learn and then I'll apply it.
Yeah.
Don't get stuck in a learning loop. Even if you know like 20 or even 30% of the tech stack that has been mentioned in the project or any open source organization. So go out there, feel free to get your hands dirty, explore, build things, you know, meet people. That has been my journey so far, in short.
Awesome, bro. First of all, what was your GSOC journey? Like, how did you get to know about what GSOC is? And then how was your preparation journey like? How did you apply? I want to know the complete story about that.
Okay, so I started coding right from my first semester itself. I was in like a, you know, people are like, I've been coding since I was at the age of 13 or things like that. So nothing like that happened with me. Yeah. I started in my first semester. And when my first semester got over, I knew like basics like Java and Python, nothing high tech in development or anything like that. So what I lacked was the real world experience. So I was like, okay, I'm using Java. I really like Java. But I haven't really made anything with Java. I know DSL Go, but how am I going to showcase that to other people? Mm. You know, so I was like, okay, I need some real world experience. And that's when the, you know, community came in because I was attending a lot of events. You know, you're from Goa, right?
My college is in Goa. Currently, I'm living in Mumbai.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, as being an active member in the community, there are like so many, there's a TensorFlow group, you know, Google developer groups, Facebook circles. So all these people, you know, they were holding many, many events. Now there are not many, you know, in-person events, but back in that time, I'm saying back in that time, like it's been a long time. But okay.
It really feels like that. It has been such a long time.
Yeah. I have been inside for like 5 months. So yeah. It's basically like an instinct. So that's when I found out about, you know, open source by networking with people. So they were like, hey, you should, you know, try open source software development. And GSOC itself is like, you know, such a big craze, especially among Indian college students, because the perks are really good and things like that. But when I first started contributing, I did not even know about GSOC. Okay, I just knew about open source. And to answer your question, I got to know about GSOC after I knew about open source. So okay. was the main motivation behind me contributing to open source was getting that real world experience and engaging with the community. So the projects I found out were like there was this Kubernetes client for Java by Red Hat. So a freshman looking at project related to Kubernetes client.
Kubernetes like too isn't it like too yeah. high level like?
Yeah, that's what I thought at first, but there are contributing to open source as a beginner. There's like a few steps. So the first one is obviously engage with the community. You are going to get stuck if you are such a newbie. So who is going to help you if you get stuck? Well, the community members are going to help you. The people who created that project are going to help you. So I was like, hey, I'm really interested in this project, but I don't know shit about Kubernetes and Docker. Can you point me in the right direction? And they were like, okay, first learn Docker, Dockerize your own personal projects, then learn about CAIRs, things like that. So that's when I started, and a good way to start is improving their documentation, writing blogs okay. for them, because
the first any open right.
source, yeah. So the any open source program organization, one thing that they cannot get enough of is documentation. So okay. documentation is always welcome, and it's also a really good way to start, in your journey into an organization. So then that comes your solving beginner friendly issues. Now this can be anything. For me, it was adding spaces between if statements. It doesn't matter.
So like you just kept pressing enter.
Yeah, I wrote a script, but that messed up a lot of things.
Okay.
So I just did it like refactoring. So yeah.
Okay.
That's what I did. And after doing all these things, that's when I got to know about GSOC. So
okay.
that's when my community members say, hey, you're active in the community. You should apply for GSOC. And I was like, okay. So I applied. I saw about GSOC. I was like, okay, it's really competitive. People, I saw these YouTube videos and things like that. So I was like, okay, it's really competitive. Doesn't matter. I will apply this year. I'm in my first year right now. If I don't get selected, doesn't matter, because I'll still keep contributing. That was my plan. And then when I apply next year, so these, the members are going to be like, hey, this guy came last year. He didn't get selected, but he was still contributing. So we should select him this year. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, if I don't get selected, I'm pretty sure that I would get selected when I will be coming in my second year.
Okay.
So that was the motivation behind, applying to GSOC.
So just so that I'm hearing it correctly, you first of all entered the Red Hat organization and you had no idea about GSOC, and you were just contributing to their source code. And then after some time, they were like, hey, we are also a GSOC organization. You might as well just.
Yeah. GSOC. Yeah. I met the org admin of Red Hat, JBoss, which is the name of the organization by Red Hat.
Yeah.
So they told me about, open source programs and things like that. So there was this program, Google Code In, which is now over, but it was a program for high school students to get started with open source. And then we found out about GSOC and Outreachy and other things like that. So I was contributing to open source before that. My most newbiest contribution in open source, everyone knows about Hacktoberfest.
Yeah.
So that is the first one. It was productive because I got to know how to use Git and GitHub. So mm-hmm. that was good. But then I found out about, GSOC, and I applied with the motivation of, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, then I'll apply next year.
And this was in your second year or first year?
My first year. I did my GSOC in my first year.
Okay. All right. And then what would be your tips for people that are just thinking about GSOC? Because like most people think of GSOC for the monetary value and for the tag that it would bring. So when people are starting out, Is it possible for a person who has no experience and is entering into college to crack it in the first year itself? Because like this is one question that I used to ask my seniors as well. Because when I was in first year, I learned about Python, I learned about machine learning algorithms, started making some models. So I was like, hey, this seems something cool that I would want to get into this. So I just reached out to my seniors and they were like, I don't think that it is possible for a first year student to actually crack it. So that was something that was demotivating me. What do you think about this?
Yeah, look, you can look at me. I did it my first year.
Yeah.
I only knew Java, and the organization was also really good. Red Hat, people only tell you that, you can't do something when they can't do it. So opinions are okay. I mean, everyone has their different opinion, but what's also true is that every person has their own, you know, learning abilities and interests and things like that. So if something is not working for you, it doesn't mean that it's not going to work for someone else. So talking about your question about, you know, doing these GSOC and all these things in your first year. Well, I would say it's good to start early. So it's not like, because whom are they going to select? Are they going to select someone who just came like a week before the applications, or someone who is contributing to, like, you know, the project from the past 2 to 3 months? So obviously the person who has been contributing for a really long time. I'm also not that, you know, senior in my college. I've just started my third year.
Yeah.
So just got done with my second year. I've just started my third year. So I'm also new in this, you know, college stuff. Regarding, you know, because I've been involved in these programs for a lot of programs. So I was a mentee in GSOC. Currently I'm a mentor with the same organization, and I've been a mentor with GCI as well. So one tip that I can give to the viewers, if you like definitely want to get selected, so this is sort of like a tip, choose a difficult project. Okay. So this is a tip. If you definitely want to do Google Summer of Code or other things. So choose a difficult project, because the more number of applications that, there are at a particular project, obviously your chances are going to get reduced, because there are more people fighting for that particular position. And obviously in that particular case, whoever has the best contributions, you know, best engagement with the community, things like that. So that those students are going to get selected. But if we're talking about just about GSOC, if you definitely want to increase your chances and select a project that is really tough.
This is actually unconventional advice. And I have a senior in BITS, Pilani. He also cracked GSOC in his first year as well. And I got him on my podcast. And basically he applied for a Hyperledger project. So that was also something new and something difficult for a first year student. So
That's also a great project. I've seen that blockchain one by Linux Foundation. It's great. It's great. You know, just apply to do a difficult project. And to be honest, by difficult, I don't mean necessarily that the project is like difficult to understand or work with. It's just that something that, you know, many students feel like it's overwhelming at first, like Kubernetes and things like that. I also felt that it was overwhelming, but when I actually learned about it, I was like, okay, I can do this. And I actually did that. I made pull requests, merged them, pull requests, other things. So it doesn't really matter that it's going to be, I'm not saying that it's not going to be challenging. What I am saying is that it's a good thing, because over there you have a learning opportunity. So you're working on a project that, you know, you don't know much about. So that is a learning opportunity for you. And those people are welcomed in the community. The people who are there from a, you know, learning point of view. If you just showcase that, okay, I want to learn, I want to contribute to this project, to the community members by, you know, solving easy issues, attending their meetups, asking questions, being active in the community. So they're going to be like, okay, yeah, this person is over here to learn. And the chances do increase in getting selected for Google Summer of Code, because that is what the mentors look into, rather than, you know, if you're just coding in isolation, working by yourself, that does not really represent as a good teamwork sort of thing. Because in open source, the feedback, giving and taking feedback is really important, especially for beginners. So if you're selecting a difficult project that you might feel that it's overwhelming, that is a good thing, because you are learning something over there.
All right. Now, one question that I get asked a lot is that, what should be the language that I should learn first so that I can crack GSOC? And that person was saying that I have learned Java. Does that reduce my chances of getting into GSOC? And I was like, it doesn't really matter. Like, what do you think about that?
Okay, first of all, if you know Java, then your chances are actually increased.
Do you think that Python and JavaScript is what you need to be knowing?
Yeah, see, the thing is that Python and JavaScript have a lot of projects.
Yeah.
Thing is that Python and JavaScript has, you know, a lot of people are learning, okay? And most of the projects in GSOC, if you look, like web development kind of projects. So those are, web development is the field that, you know, most students are comfortable with. They are like happy to do web development, and generally most people are doing web development. That is a good thing, okay? Web development, amazing field. If someone is like really good at web development, it's good, great for
also
you.
Also good for freelancing.
Also good for freelancing, but that also means that more and more students are going to apply to those projects.
Okay? All right, yeah.
So, yeah. So talking about other projects like, you know, Kubernetes, or talking about Quarkus, which is a Java framework by Red Hat, talking about Knative written in Go, okay, talking about Hyperledger, things like that, Envoy Proxy. These are like projects nobody really looks at because they don't know about their technology.
Yeah.
Because most students are focused towards web development, Android, mobile, data science algorithms, things like mm-hmm. that. So to answer the question about which language is best to get selected in GSOC, there's no sense.
This is like a noob kind of a question that people ask. It's kind of funny.
It's a funny question, but that's okay. It's understandable that students have this doubt. It's a valid question. I'm not saying it's not a valid question. It's a completely a valid question. And the thing that you need to focus on is not the language particularly itself, but what actually interests you, and you know what you like doing. And the learning ability. So it's not like if I know a particular language, can I apply to GSOC? No. Find a particular project that you know just 20 to 30% about. All the other tech stack that is mentioned in this project, learn while you're contributing. All so right. Even while my GSOC project was going on, I was still learning about the things. Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be, like, if you choose a good project for your own personal development as well, there are going to be many, many technologies that you don't know about. And that is a good thing, again, because then you're getting to learn a lot of things. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. That was really amazing. And if you talk about your, like, you got to become GSOC mentor as well. So what was that story like? How did that happen?
Yeah, so GSOC mentor, there are no forms or anything for that.
Yeah.
It's just if you're active in the community, if you're active in a particular project, so you just mention it to your GSOC, the organization admin, or your other maintainers of the project that, hey, I'm active in this project. Can I please, like, you know, I would like really like to mentor students this year in GSOC, and they send you an invite then. So
it's more about building connections with the person, with your own mentor, so that they can recommend you to become the mentor.
Yeah, they just send you a simple invite. And if you're active in the community, they would not hesitate. They would mm-hmm. send you one. Yeah.
And this is similarly for Google Coden as well.
Google Coden is now over.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was this was the last year for it. And now no more Google Coden, sadly.
All
but yeah, the process.
I was
process for this was same.
Anyways,
no, it's over now. Process is process was same, but they sent out a mail that they are closing Google Coden because they need to focus more on Google Summer of Code and Google Season of Talks. So these are the
Season of Talks. What is that?
It's like an open source program for people who really like writing documentation. So if okay. someone is into writing documentation, so there's a program for that, Google Season of Docs. Because I just, like I mentioned at the beginning of this talk also, that, you know, one thing that people cannot get enough of is documentation. So
yeah.
this also proves that point that, you know, Google has a separate program for that. So if anyone mm-hmm. really likes contributing to the documentation of projects, then check it out.
All right. So yeah, that was the episode. What do you think? How was it? Let me know in the comment section below. Also guys, the part two of this interview with Kunal is also coming soon. So stay tuned for that. We'll just be learning from him what are the benefits of participating in open source development. And we'll be talking about major leak hacking and his experience with, you know, just being in the open source community for a long, long time. If you want to connect with him, I'll leave the link to his Twitter and his LinkedIn in the description. So do check it out. And yeah, thank you so much for watching. If you're still watching, thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, like this video, subscribe to the channel, and I will see you in the next video. Bye bye.